Well, welcome to another episode of This Is Hollywood with the Hooligans. Mitch, Bradley,
hello,
Matthew Bird.
This is going to be awful, this podcast, isn't it? It's going to be terrible.
When things are good, they're bad podcasts. When things are bad, they're great podcasts. So that means this is going to be one of the worst podcasts of all time.
I'm all right with it.
I am too.
I'm all right with it, Mitch.
I am. So, three home games in a row.
Well, four if you include the U.S. game.
Well, I was talking about STLFC, but three home games in a row. We said on the last show, 6 points minimum, really want seven, would be ecstatic with nine.
I'm ecstatic.
We're ecstatic. We got nine.
I didn't see it coming.
In 6 days to pull off three wins against, I mean, Hartford, you can say what you want about, but Ottawa.
They beat us.
Ottawa and Nashville, good wins. I mean.
Phenomenal. I didn't see it coming, and I'll go back on the last podcast. I said, you know, when you were talking about getting 7 points, I said, well, you've got more faith than me. But I had no faith, and I've been proved wrong, and I'm happy to be proved wrong because the lads have played lights out.
A team effort through and through. It's back to that team that we saw at the beginning of the season.
Well, yeah, and back to you can see the fire in their eyes. You can see they're creating chances, and it's back to where I'm believing they can score goals, which we said was the problem. Now, granted, they only scored one each in the last two games, but they've held a clean sheet. And I just think the guys are actually making things happen on the pitch.
I think the swing in the morale and the swing in the momentum is just as big as the results, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the scoring three goals to Hartford was huge. That was a massive monkey off the back.
Well, you've been saying for a while, I want them to score three goals.
I don't want them to concede two in the process. I mean, it was butt puckering time at the end there. But, I thought we played well. I thought we actually played well in every game. And the Nashville game, which was on paper the hardest, I thought that was the game we played the best in, especially considering we were tired, especially considering they're high in the table, especially because they're...
But I think, like you said, winning the first two gave them confidence going into the third one, and they could taste it. Now, had they lost that Hartford game, you could have seen that three-game stretch going the other way.
Absolutely.
But now, okay, we've got three wins in a row. Let's keep it going.
I mean, it's a big game on Friday. I mean, Birmingham is a
huge game on Friday.
You know, we saw what they're about. They're like Hartford, but they're a better Hartford, honestly. Yeah. They're going to be tougher to play against. They're scrapping for their lives, too. I mean, they're having a decent season for an expansion team. I mean, they're above us in the table, but we can
leapfrog them if we
catch some serious points.
Well, they're 1 point ahead of us right now. And the one thing that popped out to me the other day when I was looking at the table is that they have a goal difference of -8. They concede. And we couldn't have picked a better time to find our scoring touch again. Because you're going into a team that really, in the top 10, is the only negative team out there.
Yeah, and I mean, we're still not safe. I mean, we're only in that 10th spot. There's lots of work to do. But I have to say, I'm starting to feel it again.
The mojo is back. There is a certain amount of mojo back.
Now, I'm not saying we're going to go undefeated the rest of the way. I'm not saying we're going to, you know, breeze into the playoffs. We still got to do the work, but... I'm much happier after that week of games, you know, thinking we can do it.
This week was a bigger week for this club than the week where we played Chicago and Cincinnati.
I think so.
Absolutely. I agree.
I mean, the Open Cup got the plaudits, but the bread and butter of this week was massive.
And I'll tell you, I felt better Saturday night than I did after those two Open Cup wins. I mean, Saturday to me was a party. I mean, first of all, it helped that it was a sellout crowd. It helped that our friend Stanley came to visit, which we'll talk about that a little bit. But I mean, everybody was in a good mood. Everybody was there for that win, and they delivered it.
I mean, you talk about the players are feeling it. I think the crowd was feeling it.
Yeah.
The crowd was feeling it. And I think the fact that on Wednesday's game against Ottawa, we scored late, we always knew that... we'd have a chance against Nashville. Even though the game was kicking on in time,
right?
We're going to have one last go at this, and it can happen.
Yeah, no, everybody had faith that it was still there to be had.
And what a cracking goal, too. I mean, you know, again, love these guys as a whole, but I was standing behind the goal with Will from Schlafly, and we were talking, and we see Russell coming up with, you know, like, take it, make that cut, and we just stopped talking. Because you saw as soon as he made that cut, you knew it's going. You're like, it, there's that swagger, there's that confidence back that it's just like, he's going to have a go, and it's going to go in.
Well, and it, I mean, it goes back the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it was, where I would watch, like, the goal of the week contenders on USL's website, and you're like, man, I wish we could score a couple like this. Well, that was a goal like that. That was a, you know, make something happen on your own. You know, Tyler's goal the other night, also on Wednesday night.
You're forgetting Kadeem against Harford. Kadeem's, that was a smash, man.
Oh, hey, my God.
And let's give it up to Kadeem. I mean, that guy's play has been through the roof. And I know Kadeem's had his detractors over the years, but I always said when he's on, he's brilliant. And he's been on for several weeks now.
I think he was quoted, and I can't remember where I saw the quote, but they were saying that the team had a little meeting after Ottawa because they felt that they played all right in Ottawa, but they had a little meeting and, you know, a little cup of tea between players, and they thrashed a few things out, and, you know, Hartford and Ottawa and Nashville are the result of the little come to Jesus meeting, I think. Yeah.
But that's good. I mean, that's...
But you're actually seeing now, I mean, whether or not we get Rivas back, which I know he's, you know, maybe on the mend, maybe getting close.
He tweeted or Instagrammed something that he was ahead of schedule.
But I mean, look at that midfield. I mean, now that Guy is back...
That's one of the biggest things, I
think.
And
he's huge there. And Lewis has a little bit more freedom to do his thing. But then on the wings, whether it's Fernandez or Blackwood or Massa...
Cicerone.
I mean, we've got some weapons out there, guys. And Ant can mix and match. And he can actually... you know, strategize using their strengths.
But also now that Kasher and Fernandez and Tyler, they've been here a couple of weeks, they're starting to get with the program. And I'm really happy with what I've seen from Kyle and Tyler together.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think that works.
There's a little bit of chemistry there.
And hopefully we'll get Albert back too. I mean, I don't know.
He'll be another, you know, another bullet in the chamber.
Right, exactly.
Ant can throw out there.
Well, and that's the other great thing, too, is that it not only, like you said, can we mix and match, but these guys are providing a spark where, you know, Lewis was tired. You know,
was an injury waiting to happen,
right,
wasn't he?
He really was. But, okay, so that means Colin gets some more time, and he brings something different than Lewis brings. And it's, you're seeing that interchange of abilities that spark, you know, like you just said, you know, you put Tyler with Kyle, and all of a sudden Kyle's a different player than he is with Albert. And that's not a slight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
different guys
bring different things to the table.
It gives Ant options depending on who we're playing against, too. If we need a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that, he's got some pieces he can mix and match.
And I think, you know, it's hard. When we were scraping to score a goal, it's hard telling someone like Caleb Calvert to come off the bench and make something happen. I mean, the team's demoralized. We're in a slump. You know, it's hard to tell someone to go in and make something happen. Having Caleb come in the team this week when things are going a bit more better, you know, he's going to lift his game.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, if just the morale around the place has
The pressure's not as hard.
Correct.
You know, it's not all up to you. You've got 20 minutes to make something happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure on a guy.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I didn't see it this week, but my God, it's been brilliant.
I do also want to mention one other guy who isn't getting the credit he deserves. Paul Jerry. I mean,
he's looking at houses.
Guy comes in for a week. We get 3 wins. I mean,
I'm upset you guys let him leave. I mean, he should be tied up in somebody's basement right now.
I think he snuck out a minute early because he knew we would keep him behind.
Yeah, I think he called that Uber, and you know.
Honestly, right, here's the story with Paul, right? Paul was, he's a friend of Jordan Roberts, and he came over when Roma was playing Liverpool, what was it, 3 years ago, he came over and caught the Roma game and came and watched us against Oklahoma City Energy and watched Jordan play, and then he was only here like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, and Jordan had asked us, hey, yeah, my friend Paul is coming in. Can you guys take care of him?
And obviously, I mean, he's one of my countrymen, so I was like, yeah, I'll show the dude around town. And he enjoyed it here. He liked it here. And he decided to, he saw that we were on the slate for three home games this week, and the Cardinals were at home for three games, which didn't interfere with our game. So he basically had a week full of chock full of sports. And I actually really enjoyed having him here. I mean, it was a bit of a bear because, you know, if I went to go pick him up, it was 25 miles and you know, and it was then 25 miles home. But Mike McHugh stepped up and picked him up a couple of times for me, and we made it work. And I actually had a really good week with him. And it was just amazing. Everything fell into place. The guy could not have picked a better week to come to St. Louis. I mean, the fucking Red Arrows at the air show, the British acrobatic team, are in town the same week that he does all this. I mean, it was just mental.
No, I think he had a good week. I think he had some fun. And I mean, obviously, everybody's in a much better mood when we're winning and everything's going well. But I think everybody had a good time meeting him. And thanks for coming.
He's our Dutch Blues fan.
He's
our Dutch Blues
fan. He's our Gerard. Speaking of Blues fans, do we want to talk about Saturday?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and tell us what happened on Saturday?
So a couple weeks ago, I had a meeting with Jim and Tom, and they let me know that with Jim being a minority owner of the St. Louis Blues, that he was going to be entitled to a day with the Stanley Cup. And Jim's very first thought when he found out it was going to happen was, how do I get it to the Lulligans? And people like, oh, you're just saying, you know, this is... And Tom's like, no, I can show you the message. Like, he literally showed me the text from Jim that said, okay, how do we get it to the Lulligans? That was his first thought. And so luckily it all worked out to where it was going to be a home game. We tried to keep it as quiet as we could. Evidently it leaked out a little bit beforehand. There was a lot of...
But it wasn't like... It was a genuine surprise to a lot of people at the tailgate
party.
Yeah,
it still was. It still was. And with the rink opening, the new practice arena that the Blues are playing at, it was there in the morning, came to soccer park. They had something, a little private event, and then they, you know, for the sponsors and stuff like that, it gets on the back of a pickup truck with Jim and Tom. They drive it down to the tailgate. And we had a table set up. They immediately throw the official NHL tablecloth on and carry it over and set up the Stanley Cup at our tailgate in front of our trailer. And there was a lot of planning that went into this to make sure, you know, we could get as many people in.
Yeah, that was, I mean, to me, that was when you told me it was going to happen. The biggest concern was we're only going to have it for 20, 25 minutes at most, and there's going to be a ton of people that want their picture taken with it. How can we get it as many pictures taken as possible? And we decided right away we got to get rid of the phones because that would take 30 seconds between each photo. Here's my phone. Here's, oh, wait, I got to unlock it again. Oh, wait, no, you pushed that button. So it just couldn't happen.
It was funny. So the week leading up, we are, you know, Tom and I are texting literally daily about it, trying to figure things out and how it's going, even to the point of Saturday morning, he texts me and I end up just calling him and he goes, okay, Mitch, I figured it out. He figured out it was like 180,000 seconds and each picture is going to take X amount of time. And I was like, Tom, this is what we're doing. So we figured out, like Brad said, we're going to skip the phones. I just brought my DSLR, set up a tripod. And, you know, if you wanted somebody else can handle your phone. We're just doing this. Take your pictures. I want to credit Brad and Kevin Marshall for managing the people coming in and out of the pictures. Kevin got to the point after about the first 10 groups of people that he could hear the shutter on my camera. And as soon as he heard it stop, he'd be next. he was yelling at people. Let's keep it moving.
I do also want to say, talking about Kevin, the dude worked his ass off yesterday too.
We'll get to that.
But I just want, before I forgot that, I did want to give him a mention.
Yeah, and so Jake Gutterman and Matt Baker stepped up to help the line, keep the line moving.
And I want to thank all the people too, because everybody was very polite. They tried to stay in an orderly fashion.
Yeah. The courtesy shown by the people getting their pictures taken was awesome. Credit to Oliver, who grabbed the charity du jour bucket and started walking up and down the line harassing people. I'll let Brandon announce that number.
Make sure you had an opportunity to donate.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, you know, that was great. The end total was 1,421 pictures taken, 31.6 gigs of pictures on my camera. It was surreal. It was absolutely surreal.
And an entire Sunday of yours converting and uploading and
separating. And yeah, that was something else too.
So thank you to Mitch for doing all that work.
Yeah, it was worth it because of the next part is that gets back on the truck and the Stanley Cup leads the Lulligan March into the game, which just that I'm getting goosebumps right now telling the story again. Like it is just absolutely amazing. It drives all the way up. They carry it straight over to the corner where a table is set up on the field. Jim and Tom want a picture of them in front of our corner, flags and smoke bombs with the Stanley Cup. And they had told me that that's what they wanted to do. And we were excited and we, you know, trying to collect everybody. And as we're coming in, they grab Brad and Sarah and I and Brown and said, "Hey, we want you guys in this picture." And you immediately were like, "No, this is about you guys. This is," and they said, "No, this is what we've all built and done together. Let's get you guys out here." The picture is phenomenal because of the flags and everybody cheering and scarves and smoke. I can't think of a better supporters group picture in any American soccer.
To me now, here's where it gets weird. Yes, I get it. It's a hockey trophy in our corner, and some other supporters groups may not get that. But I think as far as sports fans go, St. Louis Blues fans have a lot in common with Lulligans. And I mean, there's a lot of overlap in those fans, but hockey in St. Louis is the blue collar sport the same way soccer is. And their fans have been diehard, passionate fans for years. And to me, yes, it is a little.
But the other part about it too, is much like St. Louis FC, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. 53 years of disappointment.
The only way Saturday would have been better in that respect was if Sam Fink was lifting the USL Cup.
Yeah, right,
I mean,
right.
we can point to Louisville and what they've done the last couple of You know, that aside, if I was thinking about it, you go back to 2013, 2014 when Jeremy and Tom Rogers and Jim and Pat Barry and Jeremy they're all sitting around talking about putting this team together, and there was what 17 of us at the
announcement.
At the announcement. Yeah. If you'd have said in 5 years' time, we're going to do this on this Saturday, you'd have gone, "You're crazy."
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Immediately committed. And
I mean, aside from winning the actual league we're in, Saturday was the next best thing. Yeah. It was amazing.
And also then, in addition to the glory of the Stanley Cup, we had Alexi Lalas was in town, Josh Sargent and Tim Ream were in town for the U.S. game, and they all made it out to the park. Alexi, look, say what you want about Alexi, and we've all rolled our eyes at things he's said or flat out called him an idiot. The guy couldn't have been more personable. People gave him shit. He took it.
Well, he even flat out said, "I'm a villain on TV because that's what they pay me to
right.
do."
Right, but he was in the supporters. He started out in the Bacardi, you know, patio with all the other VIPs.
And then I get a text from my son. There's some giant redhead dude in your spot waving a flag.
I do think he enjoyed being a fan.
He did. He came down to the tailgate before the game. He came down to the tailgate after the game.
He closed down the tailgate after the game.
I think he genuinely had a good time. I mean, you saw the little video he made with St. Louis FC, you know, calling Nashville losers and, you know, giving the beer bucket to our man of the match. I mean, I think he had a good time, and I think it reminded him that, you know, soccer is about the fans, and soccer is about, you know, it, because we're away from the glitz and glamour of MLS.
But he never played in the glitz and glamour. He played for Padua in Italy. They got 8,000 fans. Well, he played in
Arrowhead Stadium with 3,000 or 4,000 fans in Kansas City. Yeah.
It's where he was.
He
was.
But he also was the GM of Galaxy during the Beckham experiment.
Right.
I mean, he's seen the polar opposites of American soccer. And I think it was nice to remind him that, look, we're still here. We're fans of the game. And I mean, it is the game in a little more honest sense.
Yeah. Authentic.
I mean, also, though, Mitch, I mean, you did mention that he plays a persona online, and there's nothing I hate more than loud mouths giving stupid hot takes on Twitter, man.
I told people that also, you know, I mean, look, there's times we argue on the podcast just to take a different point of view, and we might agree on it, you know, but we try to have a discussion. I mean, I think he takes it to the next level. I think he says things that are shocking on purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
They're hot takes. Yeah. They're, you know, but I mean, say what you want about the guy. I found him to be a really nice guy.
I've met him 3 times now, and he's always been nice. But he does say some dumb things on Twitter, as do we all.
Yeah.
He comes down to the tailgate afterwards, gets a beer out of the trailer, adored the trailer. He's like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. This is creative. This is amazing. And immediately, there were several people that came in and out of the conversation with him and me. He's asking, okay, you guys have been around for a while. How long you been around? He wanted the whole history of us, the history of our affiliation with St. Louis FC, you know, what we've gone through. He asked very, very, I don't want to say pointed questions, but you knew he was being genuine and wanted, okay, teach me about what you guys do here.
Well, and I think, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a fan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. And that was the one thing I really took away from it is that he loves what he does.
But also, I mean, he was going to go on TV last night and he'd done his homework. Yeah. He knew about the St. Louis soccer fan.
Yeah, I have yet to watch. I TiVo'd it last night. I want to make sure I watch it and see if he...
And I do want to give a shout out to Josh Sargent and Tim Ream, both there. Obviously... they didn't partake in the beers the way Alexi. They didn't quite enjoy the St. Louis FC game the way Alexi did, but it was a fun night. Also, big shout out to the raccoons this week.
Oh my God! How about that? All of a sudden, River Raccoon shows up and runs across the field.
I mean, it's gimmicky, but it's fun.
But you know what? It's gimmicky in the right way.
They didn't make it up. I mean, there's a little bit of a backstory to it. Yeah. I mean,
and I do have some actual information about the raccoons, just so everybody knows. Well, if you don't know, Petch caught a raccoon behind Section 8 the other day, and there was even rumors that there was a raccoon on the other side of the field, too. So 3 raccoons were spotted and captured. So I went to talk to Petch about this, and I'm like, what the hell's going on, Petch? Why are all these raccoons? And he said, well, during just this last couple of weeks, they've caught a couple skunks. They've caught several raccoons. Turns out there was a guy, a pest control guy, was catching raccoons and such for people who had raccoon problems and bringing them out there and dumping them in the woods behind Soccer Park.
Because that's a park.
It's just like...
It's a county park.
But you're bringing your raccoons here and now they're all coming up to Soccer Park because, you know, people drop popcorn, they spill sodas or whatever, and raccoons are going to come find the food. So they've had a little extra duty around.
Well,
they finally told the guy, look, knock it off. Dispose of your raccoons properly, sir. But
see, I presumed it was due to the increased wildlife from the floods.
Well,
you know,
and,
if you get frogs and snakes and
deer
squirrels and stuff,
could be some of that too. Yeah,
but anyway,
they've been on raccoon duty at the park. But with that comes an unofficial mascot, the River Raccoon, I got a Twitter following, and I believe I have a question from him in the questions tonight.
Yeah,
so.
It's great though. But again, this is where the best things like this are always created.
Have
organically
some fun with it
and having fun with it. You know, personally, I hope
better than Hat Trick Harry.
I hope he goes a little on the gritty side in terms of online personality. But
that'd be kind
of
fun.
We'll see what happens here. It was great. Could not have been a better week of soccer for St. Louisans.
And then, to me, even though all of this stuff has been great, I loved having a moment to take a picture with my friends with the Stanley Cup. I loved getting 9 points. But the Lilligans themselves crossed a milestone this week. We broke $100,000 raised over the first 5 years of St. Louis FC with charity, and we're still going for this year. But $100,000, that's pretty cool to me.
That is insane. I mean, it is.
And literally from basically putting out a bucket and asking for donations.
I mean, it just started off as an idea. Yeah. It's you, Brad, man. You've done this.
Let's give credit where credit is due.
It was your idea. You kept it going.
We can't. You were the one that drove this, came up with ideas, you know, like the ticket exchange for the charity. I mean, that was a phenomenal idea that has paid off huge. You know, we talked to our friends at Schlafly who think it's amazing and you know, are happy
Dave
to help
donated
their
some
part.
Great yeah,
but,
raffle
but it's
items.
Because
yeah.
it's such an amazing concept and program.
And also big thanks to Worldwide Technology and St. Louis FC. They've contributed massively and had special events that help our charity du jour, which we'll talk about another one coming up for the next home game. But thank you for the credit. But honestly, a lot of people have put a lot of money into this. Whether it's just you throwing in a buck every week or you buying the beer cups or some people, I mean, well, some people give a lot of money. There's people that drop in 20s every week.
And I want to give special thanks to Sarah for watching over it and for being the first to tell people, no, we won't make change. Go ahead and put the whole thing in. Because as soon as somebody asked her for change and she said no, A, you need to put in money.
Sarah's much better at me than asking for donations.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
she
that
is
right
on top of it. The stickers, the bracelets, any of those.
Yeah,
kind
we
of
do
things.
A lot of little fun things to raise a little extra money. The empty cups, the food. The last couple of years have been donating all their extra back into the charity. It's just been great, and so thank you all for taking part in that. But I think it's pretty amazing that a bunch of people just like to say we're drunk soccer fans. We said, okay, well, if we're going to be drunk soccer fans, let's take a collection. And we've raised $100,000.
Well, and it started back when we were at the Lions doing the New Year's Day game
yeah,
with the food drive.
Right. It's definitely stepped up since we became St. Louis FC. But I think that was also a recognition of we've got a little bit more...
A wider audience.
Let's try to use that for good.
Yeah, no, and again, you know, everybody that's done something along the way, you know, if it's the Carvers running the Schlaffles or, you know, Petrillo and Mahoney in the early days taking the food to the food bank or, you know.
It's
organic and it's people just stepping up and doing the right thing. I mean, it could not be more proud
of it. But it's also your hometown. He's not going to put the hand in the pocket for the hometown.
And that's the other thing, too. Well, we
try to pick charities that our members suggest based on either they've used that charity before or they've been involved, mm-hmm. you know, in one way or another. We try to pick charities that mean something to people, and we try to pick local ones. So, I mean, again, I'm thankful that everybody has jumped onto this. I'm thankful that people want to be a part of it, and I hope... You all are as proud as I am about this.
They should be.
It's amazing, dude.
And let's not, you know, a Saturday, you know, I mentioned Oliver walking up and down. We raised over $1,000 on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Crazy. And credit to the Nashville people, too. You know, every visiting supporters group that comes in, even if it's one or two people,
they're very happy to participate.
They are happy to put in and do it.
The even Coopers usually raffle a bottle of whiskey.
Right.
Or, wait, is that right? Or is it bourbon?
Bourbon.
Sorry. I get in trouble when I call it whiskey.
It's Kentucky bourbon. But even Phil, the keeper of the cup, the white-haired guy in the jacket that you see at all these things, I was talking to the tailgate crew last night, and when I met him in the private event, I said, hey, you know, when you come down, we've got food, we've got beer. Can you have beers? He said, I can have two. So we made sure he had two beers, you know, but it was funny. They're like, hey, let's get some food. And he put in money and they said, no, you don't. You brought us.
Yeah.
You brought us Lord Stanley. You don't have to. And no, I insist on contributing.
I do want to mention you touched on it there, the Nashville fans. Good people.
Yes. Great
good
people.
It was nice. It was nice to have I know we've not played Louisville at home yet, but it was nice to have
a
game
good
with
crowd,
away
yeah.
fans. I mean, we've not had that maybe since Indy were here, the first game of the season.
Yeah.
Good people. Glad they traveled.
Glad they got to see the Stanley Cup since they're not going to see it on.
And I'm glad
that
they
was funny.
I'm glad they got to drive home on a bus miserable because Lord knows I have done that too.
But I think they also, I mean, it is something that's cool about USL and I guess soccer in the United States in general. Everybody has a little different pregame. I mean, some places have bars where, mm-hmm. you know, they split up and go to different bars around the stadium. And some places have a tailgate or a little tailgate or half and half. Mm-hmm. And I think Nashville really appreciated seeing, I mean, look, we do a great tailgate, but it's out of necessity because we don't have
any place, there's
not a bar to go to.
Yeah.
So I think they appreciated seeing how we've made it our own and hopefully we all learn from each other, but I'm glad they had came down. I'm glad they had a good time.
I'm glad they went home sad.
And I'm glad they went home sad.
Because Lord knows we've been in that position.
Yes, we have. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back with some news and notes, and then we'll hit your questions.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to This Is Silly with the St. Luligans. I am awesome!
Better fucking mousetraps.
Again, he knows his role, and he plays it well.
And he was having fun.
Oh, he was having a blast. He's like, okay, tell me what I need to say. All right, cool. I'll do something fun. He goes, if it's called This Is Silly, it obviously you guys are having fun with it. I was like, you goddamn right, dude.
All right, so it hasn't been really that long since our last podcast, but we've had a lot of news.
Well, hold on. Why was Alexi here?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the U.S. men's national team game. Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
We were all there last night.
Yeah. I mean, really, again, that A.O. Luligan crossover is...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're A.O. members, but the best part about last night is Mitch and I had to do no work.
No work whatsoever.
It's kind of nice.
I will admit to having a panic attack around 4 o'clock. Thinking, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? And I was like, oh, yeah, nothing.
Yes. It was good to give Ryan Smith a big old hug because he also had to do nothing because he's no longer president, and he was enjoying that. But shout out to all the AO leaders, our friends, Malia, Mandy, Derek, Karen,
Kevin
Marshall. They did a ton of good work. Had fun at the tailgate. I didn't know if I'd get there in time because I had to work, but I got out a little bit early, and Mitch and I got there in time to have a few beers and enjoy the parking lot.
Outlaw tailgates are always fun.
Yeah.
And
you get people coming from all over.
Yeah.
A lot of the Nashville guys either hung around in town after the game on Saturday or came back up. I saw several of those guys.
You know, guys from Indy, guys from Evansville, yeah. Indiana, Columbus. You know, that it was just different, and it's bonus soccer, and you should always, if you can, go watch your national team play. I love going and watching the U.S. Yeah. I honestly got it. I love it, and
It was Ewan's first U.S. men's national team cap.
Yeah. His first cap.
And he did, you know what, he met Sargent on Saturday.
Yeah.
And he just thought he was having his photograph taken with a dude. He didn't realize who it was.
Right.
Really what the significance of it was until he saw him on the TV training before the game. And he's like, all right. All right, yeah. Yeah. You know that face from the Brad Davis face? It was one of them.
It was, yeah. That's what it reminded me of. So. But he was fun running around the parking lot, throwing bags, hanging out with other kids. I mean, again, you get a little jaded as an adult sometimes, mm-hmm. but when you see it through the eyes of a kid, I mean, we got into the stadium and he's like, can I go down there to the front? Yeah, you can go down there to the front by the drums and him and Will. I mean, it was great. And I mean, Ewan's one of our collective Luligan kids now. I mean, he probably knew 50 people that crowd and could have gone to any part of that section that he wanted to. And, I mean, this is what we're building.
And here's the thing. I constantly compare the culture over here to what I grew up with. And in the UK, England play in London. They play in Wembley.
Yeah.
That's pretty much where they play. I'd never got to see England play a soccer game until I could drive.
Yeah.
You know, I was 20, 21 by the time I finally had enough money and my license and everything to be able to drive to London, go see a game, come back. I love the fact that, for the most part, the US do spread it around. You know, and Ewan's one up to me. I mean, he's seen his national team play at 6 years of age.
Yeah.
I was 21. So that one thing I will compare that we do better over here is we spread it around.
Speaking of spreading around, a lot of empty seats last night, though. They said it was like 18,000.
They ended up saying it was over 20 was the official.
But how good would that have looked in a soccer-specific stadium?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before. It wasn't a bad crowd for
no.
a Tuesday night for, let's face it, a team that didn't qualify for the World Cup, playing a younger squad. It wasn't really the A team. I mean, half of the guys went back home after the Mexico game. But
this U.S. national team for a midweek friendly is a 17,000-18,000 crowd. That's what the U.S. are. It's not a slight on St. Louis. That would have been the crowd anyway.
Right, exactly.
Now, the fact that it was in whatever Busch Stadium is, 45,000, it looked
sparse.
It looked
sparse, but I mean,
but I think it was a good crowd there.
It was, and got to see hometown Tim Ream and Josh Sargent play.
A fifth of the team were from O'Fallon.
and I actually think, I believe that was Sargent's first U.S. start, or did we figure out he started somewhere else in Europe or something?
I can't think of one, but it might be, it might not be.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it was.
Sounds good.
But, I mean, the crowd gave a good ovation to him, a good ovation to Ream. Played all right. I mean, you know.
I always felt the Uruguay didn't really give a shit.
Yeah, I didn't think
they... And I thought they never got out of third gear when they wanted to go up a gear.
They had some moments, yeah.
They had some moments. What a strike.
Yeah.
I mean, people are blaming Gazan for that. Man, no one's stopping
no,
that.
That
was a rocket off Rodriguez's laces.
That was a nice shot. I mean, and then people can say, oh, well, Sargent should have got the handball call in the box. I mean, the United States should have gotten a penalty because Uruguay handled it in the box. But, I mean, it's a friendly. Some people were mad about it. I'm like, well, you know, what are you going to do? It is what it is. I mean, it wasn't like that game counted for anything.
I mean,
so.
if it was the quarterfinal of the World Cup, you'd be screaming.
Right.
But a one-off friendly in Busch Stadium, yeah. I don't think anyone's
going
to lose any sleep over it.
I think people wanted Josh to score at home, and maybe he would have taken that penalty or something.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, that's a pity fuck.
Well,
and he's better than that. And he's better than that.
I don't know. I enjoy a good pity fuck. I mean, beggars cannot be choosers, Matt.
No offense. Josh Sargent, you are not.
That's a good point. Good point. But no, it was a fun time out. Thanks to everybody who helped make that happen. We enjoyed it. I will say the ushers did not make me enjoy it.
Oh, the ushers were awful.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to stand for 5 minutes outside of the designated seating area.
They are not soccer savvy, are they?
No.
We were talking earlier, and it's like I'm walking through that back area coming back from the bathroom or getting beers.
Big
or
open concourse.
Huge open concourse. And somebody catches my attention. Hey, how's it going? Go over, give them a hug. Hey, great time. This move along. It's like, you just saw us just meet up and say, hey,
yeah.
You don't have some sort of...
Let's hope that's not the company they hire for MLS security.
Yeah, no kidding.
When it comes around.
But like you said, they're all Cardinal ushers.
Yeah.
They're used to Cardinal rules.
But even Boomers.
But even for a Cardinals game, people can't stand in the concourse and have a five-minute conversation as long as they're not blocking traffic?
Dude, it's...
It was ridiculous.
It's old white people.
I guess so. Wait a minute. I'm old white people.
Yes. Well, we'll talk later.
Yeah, and you're grumpy at times.
That's true. Go sit down, Matt.
He is sitting down.
I want to give a shout out to Patrick Schulte. It seems like it's been a while, but he was called up to the U.S. under 20 team.
Yeah.
To those of you who remember, Patrick was our goalkeeper earlier this year. He's gone away to SLU, having a good first season, but he also got a call up to the U-20, and that's a big deal.
He got a nice little mention in an Athletic article by Jeff Reuter.
That's right, too. But he was one of our U.S. Open Cup heroes early in the Madison game, right?
Des Moines game.
Want to mention this Friday, in addition to there being a big St. Louis FC game where we play the Birmingham Legion, the Bronze Boot is happening. This is the annual, well... It wasn't for a while, but now it's back. The annual game between SLU and SIUE, two of the best college soccer programs around, and we're lucky enough to have them both in our area, and we're lucky enough to have them show off against each other once a year. So this year's edition is at SIU's stadium. It's not that far away. Please, if you don't have anything to do on Friday, go check out some of the best college soccer in the area.
What time's the game at? Do you know?
I think it's 7.
So it's directly against the St. Louis FC.
Yeah, but I mean...
It might be on ESPN Plus, though. You might be able to double screen it.
Well, there you go.
I think it might be on ESPN Plus.
But SIU is not that far a drive, and really, both of those squads are good squads. So if you're only going to see one college soccer game this year...
Make it that one.
Yeah, go see that one. Want to mention our buddy Sam Fink. Was named the lower league player of the U.S. Open Cup tournament.
No, just player of the tournament.
Oh, I thought it was just lower league.
Player of the tournament.
Oh, the player of the whole tournament.
I believe it was player of the tournament.
Oh, well, you would know because you wrote a nice little article about him for the Cup's website.
When I say wrote it, I cobbled together some word salad and I sent it to Josh Hackler, who molded it into somewhat of a story.
Mitch, you know how to do that with birds articles, don't
well,
you?
What it was.
It's funny, too, because in reading the article, I'm like, I would have changed that one. It's like I went into editor mode.
Because I had to write a bit here, a bit there, and I'd send in bits, yeah. and then I asked Sam for some quotes.
It
and
is,
I'd send that another.
It is lower division,
is it,
by the way.
Fair
okay.
Enough.
But fair anyway, Sam. An amazing tournament run, did it all, scored a big game-winning goal against Cincinnati, was a part of a couple of big clean sheets. You know, and Sam, you mentioned it. He is the prototypical St. Louis FC player.
When I wrote that little bit about him being our guy, you know, there's no name bigger. Hackler asked me, he wrote to me, he said, are you sure about that? If I write that, is some people going to argue that? And I sent him, I said, no, he is that name. And I sent him actually a link to a couple of tweets where people, Stuart mentioned building a statue.
Yeah.
And there was another one that said, where's the statue going to be? I mean, I said, he is that much of our guy.
I mean, really, I mean, he was only gone 1 year. Other than that, he's been here the entire time. Right out of college, you know, played every minute of that first season. Just...
Anchor. He's the anchor. He's
everything. And everything you want, both on and off the field. He's a class act, and he's in your starting 11 every time.
I mean, when we first signed him, I thought he was going to be a guy that we got for the numbers.
Yeah.
And he grew into the team, and he's played every game. Then he starts becoming a veteran, and then he's a gin, and then he goes off to Oklahoma and improves there, and proves he just belongs in the league. He comes back and we've seen him
grow.
He's taken
the captain's role. Yeah.
And he grew into being a captain. We've just seen him become a consummate journeyman professional soccer player for us. And
then off the field, you know, he's an inspiration for the kids. I mean,
I'm so happy we're writing a big check to Paint the Town Gold. That's him and his mom.
That was his family's big charity that they always get involved in. You're not going to find a nicer guy than Sam Fink.
No, and
intense. And that's the other thing, too, is that the intensity on the field, I guess I kind of get a little bit lucky here by giving the man of the match bucket part out, seeing his face after a win, just that intensity, that emotion that goes into it, how excited he is, you know, like...
If he wasn't on the team, he'd be in the corner with us.
Yeah,
Speaking of which... His family was actually out of town on Saturday doing some work for Paint the Town Gold. They were at another charity event. And I know his mom and his stepdad, a little sad they missed the Stanley Cup. but that's the other part. His family, his extended family, his wife's from here, they come to games and they're all in. Just everything, and he's an SLSG kid. He grew up here. It's all perfect.
I think also we have an affinity. Not, I think the Luligans, because we're all of a similar age. We all do blue collar work. You know, we're all go to work every day. We like our defenders.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was when.
Well, this is the first defender that's won this award. That was the other thing.
Yeah, that was.
But going back to Wednesday. And we couldn't decide whether Kadeem or Boehner should get the man of the match bucket because, you know, we were umming and ahhing because Kadeem's had a great week. But we went with Boehner because we love a defender. We love a grafter, you know.
That's who St. Louis is. You know, the defensemen for the Blues are always the guys.
Yeah.
Yadier Molina, you know, you want that guy that just puts in the hard work.
So anyway, Sam Fink, if you haven't read it, please go to our Twitter feed or our Facebook page and go read that article. Great, great honor for a great young player. Let's do the culture collection.
Oh my God.
USL's doing this culture collection event where they're releasing alternative jerseys designed by, you know,
blind people.
that's I think charitable. These jerseys have been frigging awful. Okay, St. Louis was released today. I got to say, it's not the worst one.
It still looks like...
Just because it's not as bad as the shit they released yesterday doesn't make it good.
It's not good.
It looks like a Budweiser 4th of July.
Looks like a giveaway.
Threw up.
And it's a giveaway. Like,
yeah.
I will preface this by saying I did like the Pittsburgh one. I thought that was actually pretty decent.
I was thinking about that on my way home from work, that you said that, and I said, yeah, the Pittsburgh one's okay, and then I realized, it's not good.
No.
It's just so much better than all the other ones.
The best of a...
My favorite is the Indy one.
The Indy one's...
You know why? It's not an Indy car. It's an F1 car.
Yeah.
So they didn't even get the race car that's right.
You have a team that plays in a fucking Formula One track.
Yeah. That was beautiful. To me, the best one is Oklahoma City. They put it in the color of their biggest rival.
Not just the biggest rival on the... But also, Norman, Oklahoma is where the Sooners play. And their biggest rival are OSU that play in Stillwater. And they're orange as well.
And they're Cowboys. And there's a giant cowboy on the front of this shirt.
You may as well just...
How did that happen?
You know what? You know
Sarah pointed out the Vegas one.
Oh.
I'm not a gambler, but evidently the roll of the dice is a losing roll.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not what was it? It's seven, and that means that you bet against the thrower,
right?
Which is like the biggest asshole move you can do,
right? So I mean, there's a myriad of problems.
You know what it is, but you know what it is? It's marketing people doing soccer
Never been to a game or never seen a real race car or never.
How do you not do the research on that?
I do think.
How did somebody at Oklahoma City not just say no? We can't do orange.
Well, I don't think I have a feeling the teams didn't know about them. That it was basically, hey, we're doing something fun, so you guys know.
More content and more merch is good. Let's go on the record and say, you know. But also on the flip side of that coin, fans of USL teams on a daily basis bang the drum that we are not minor league.
Oh, these are minor league.
And
they're not even minor league. They're frontier league, like the...
They're bad.
They do have the minor league look about them.
And here's the other thing. The teams are never going to wear them. So what the fuck's the point even, other than to sell a few shirts, I guess.
But even at that, who's going to buy them when it insults the fan base?
I've seen people that like them. I mean, look, if you like it, good for you.
Matt Baker likes ours. I told him he was a moron.
Yeah.
You know.
Carson likes it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I get his point, though. It's a one-off, whatever. It's just, you know.
No, I mean, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not offended by ours. If I was an Oklahoma City fan, I would be offended by the orange cowboy.
Well, like the Indy people are legitimately pissed that
it's not an Indy car.
You might as well put a NASCAR on there. Yeah.
Right. But I don't know. I guess good for the league to try to do something.
It is one of them, the Bart Simpson, at least you tried.
It is.
Well, I mean,
they failed in execution.
What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, MLB did the Players Weekend where they put the nicknames on the back. But then they totally botched the uniforms where it was all white and all black with the white numbers on white jerseys. So you couldn't tell if the angle wasn't right. You couldn't see who it was. It's like that. It's like you guys couldn't have done this worse.
But all right.
Good for trying.
Speaking of shirts, we're still thinking about, we're still toying with the idea of doing Justin's Laser Snakes design t-shirt. If we do this, it would be for charity. So just if you're interested in a Laser Snakes shirt and you're listening to this podcast, just send us a message or something. And if we get enough people who are interested, we will maybe do a batch of the Laser Snake shirts just for fun. Remember, this is called This Is Silly. We are not seriously suggesting that the name of the team be the Laser Snakes.
I am.
You speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Matt Bird.
I love it.
Matt Bird wants it to be Laser Snakes.
Because it's so ridiculous, it's hilarious.
But we're just having a little fun, and we thought if we could raise some money for charity, because that's what we do, we might do that. So if you're interested in the Laser Snake shirt, send us a message.
It has kind of died a death.
It did. It burned hot and bright, and it may be over.
Yeah.
MLS for the Lou. We got a couple little news and notes on that. This week, Don Garber kind of let it slip that at Dan Flynn's retirement from U.S. soccer, that he would be speaking to him in his new role with St. Louis FC or St. Louis
It's good hire. I can think of a couple more guys.
I mean, honestly, though.
That was a joke.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Dan, look, he's been in the U.S. soccer system forever. He knows where the bodies are buried. He knows how you play the game.
He knows the landscape.
He knows the landscape of U.S. soccer, and that's what you need. So
he wants to work for a company as well now, Dan, that's not being sued at every turn.
But at the same time, I mean, I think he does care about the city of St. Louis. He's, you know, long been a friend of the Cavanaughs and worked with St. Louis FC, and now we know he has been an official advisor to the MLS for the Lou campaign. I think it makes sense.
I'm happy.
And if the rumors we're hearing is that he will be the first president of the new MLS team, I think that's a good hire.
Again, it's a smart soccer move.
Yeah.
And just like Alexi, every time we've ever met him, he's been very good to us, very nice, yeah. Very very affable and approachable.
Appreciative of what our group does. It's a good mix.
And like I said, he knows the U.S. game, and he knows how to get things done. He has a relationship with Don Garber, so when you need something from the league, he knows who to call and how to go about it. So
yeah.
All these things are important, and I think Dan Flynn will be a good hire for the MLS for the Lou Group. The other thing we're hearing is they're going to start doing some polling for names and such. I wouldn't be surprised to see that coming out in the next. Probably wanted to wait till after the U.S. game, but in the next week or so, I would expect to start hearing more from the group about. We know they've talked about releasing stadium designs, like more updated versions of that, and they're going to start polling to get information about colors and names and things like that. So be on the lookout for that. If you haven't signed up at MLSfortheLou.com, sign up for that so they can send you those things and you can be a part of it. That's all I've got news and notes wise. So let's do some. I did a poll question.
I did a poll today too.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about your poll first.
Has Ewan taken off his red USA jersey yet? No. And the other option was no.
So he's still rocking the red.
Oh, he stinks.
I did a poll. Do you think after the 9 points we gained last week, which was huge, do you think St. Louis FC is going to make the playoffs? 58% said yes. 8% said no. I mean, there's always somebody that's just got to be a negative Nelly. And 34% said it's too close to call, which is probably the right answer.
I'm disagreeing. I am fully in the yes camp.
You're saying yes.
I am in the yes camp. In fact, not only that, but as we discussed last night, with a win, if we win Friday night, that puts us into ninth. And as Bird pointed out, that is my
It's different than we thought, though.
Oh, it is. Damn.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I think it's the bottom four are playing.
Oh, so it's two and three. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
we're one step closer to being in the spot that we want to be in.
Yeah, we'll still
want to be seventh or eighth to get that home
right
game.
Right.
Okay.
So I think we'll do the math on upcoming episodes. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But right now, I like the position we're in.
Ottawa is currently in eighth, and they've lost four straight. So
yeah, and according to...
We picked up... I think we were 13 points behind them. We're now only 4 points behind them.
Yep.
In a week.
It's amazing.
The official tracker, they put out a new article today. Our magic number is 25. So that's a combination of us getting points and people above us dropping points to get to 25. So
I mean, the points were great. The wins were great. The fact we just seem to have had a total 180 swing when it comes to mojo, momentum, morale, confidence. It looks like a different team. And the belief, it's just something just like a switch has been clicked and they're going out there. It's just great to see them running at defenders. The passes just seem to be crisper. The control, the first touches seem to be a little sharper. And, you know, the guys that have come in have just, I'm not saying they've made a difference, but they've gelled and they've added to what we've got. And it just gives out a few more options. And, you know, the backstretch of this year, you know, we're going to play in another Wednesday game next week. You know, he's going to need he's going to need those bodies.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to some questions and topics. This is from our buddy Zach, the drummer. I just want to thank everyone who came out and made noise for any of these last three games. We may need to stay undefeated at home to have any chance. So please come out, bring friends, and let's get silly. Yeah, I mean, big props to all the people that came out these three games. I thought the corner was loud. I thought everybody was into it, especially Saturday. Saturday, a sellout crowd. Everybody was going nuts. But even the Wednesday crowd, where it's a little lighter than usual just because people have to work and school nights and things like that, I thought the crowd was really good on Wednesday night even. So
yeah, and we're going to need it again Friday night. I mean, you know.
Wednesday night.
No, this in two nights.
Well, we're not home.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. God, I'm
You
sorry.
Can be as loud as you
all
want.
We all need to drive to Birmingham. It's 8 hours away. Take Friday off. We're going on a party to Alabama.
Stuart Hultgren, realistic amount of points to qualify for the playoffs. Also, is this year's Phoenix team better than last year's Cincy team? And reasons 1 to 100 of why Cincinnati sucks.
Phoenix is the only team that has clinched a playoff spot this early.
Right.
I mean, they are destroying it.
Let's go with that. What are we sitting on now? Are we sitting on 34
points?
We are
on 35 points.
35 points. Like I said, they said our magic number is 26 or 25. So, I mean, we're going to have to win at least. We've got 8 games left. We've got to win at least 4 of them and probably 5.
I think you need 1.5 points per game to make the playoffs overall. That seems to be the benchmark for the last couple of years. I don't know what that means we have to do going forward, but 1.5 points a game is the you have to go at
least. Right now we're at 35 and we need to be at 39.
Yeah, but at the end of the day also, draws don't do us any good. We need to win games rather than we need to win 2 games instead of draw 3,
yes.
Kind of thing. That's where we need to be.
This year's Phoenix team better than last year's Cincy team? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look, I stand corrected. Click the thing. I said, look. Well, then you have to click it again because I said it. There you go. At the beginning of the season, they dropped a couple.
They tied like 5 games in a row.
And I thought, they're not as good as you thought.
And we were top of the league. We were flying. And I sent a tweet to like the Rising Nation or whatever their fan group's called. Said, ha, you ain't making the playoffs. And after that, our teams have gone. It was me. Bert Stradamus had an off day. All right. So.
But no, they are.
They're an unstoppable force.
They
right
could
now.
Beat.
Do you not
the bottom of the MLS, I think.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I think they give the bottom third of the MLS. But we'll never know because they always lose in the second round of the Open Cup for some reason.
But hey, that helped, them.
Helped them.
It helped Charlotte. You know, Charlotte lost to the Soccer Soldiers and went on a little run. And now every other team's recovered from the Open Cup that made it through a couple
but
of rounds.
But we lost a lot of ground.
Well, but just your regular USL team that maybe won 2 or 3 games, right? Before they got knocked out by an MLS team, they've all caught up, and now Charlotte's gone the downslide. What they made hay while the sunshine, but Phoenix just kept going. They play Las Vegas tonight, and I've got a feeling that Phoenix are either going to put 5 past Vegas, or Vegas will win.
Could be
because,
a banana skin
because you don't know with Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's just how mental the Western Conference is right now. It'll either be 5-0 of Phoenix or Vegas will win. I don't think there'll be any middle ground.
And also, like Cincinnati, Phoenix could run away with the regular season and then stub their toe in the playoffs. Anything's possible. But I think this is a really good Phoenix team.
No question.
I've only seen a couple of games complete, but when I've seen them, I mean, the Solomon kid.
Asante.
He's special.
And they're
so
composed. Like, you don't see them making dumb turnovers. Or like,
our buddy Joey's helped him out.
Yeah.
He was a big miss for us. Yeah. I'm telling you, he's a big hole to fill. He's a good player, Joey. And I'm glad he's playing in the Western Conference.
Yeah, okay.
But they've got Adam Jean as well, and he's a good player too. They got a kid called Musa. I don't know.
He's
all right.
Yeah.
But again, I think we have a little revisionist history with Musa. That when he left us, and you know that he's grown up a lot.
He has, but he's always been steal in the middle of that park.
No doubt.
And he's like Sam. He's grown as a player every single year too, and now he's a very, very good holding midfielder, central defender. Yeah. And I think Ledbetter's done well since he's gone there.
Yeah, he has.
Know, he went to Tucson, and Phoenix have looked at him and going, you know what, he's not a bad player. Yeah. Bring him in.
And as far as talking shit about Cincy, I don't care. I mean,
I laugh just because of their presence on social media that
Yeah, they don't seem to get it. But
no.
But I mean, hey, in a couple of years when we get to MLS, we may have a shitty.
But you know what? We know how to lose.
They don't know how to lose. No,
nope.
They have.
Well, and that was the other thing, though. Yeah, Alexi Lalas posted something about your conversation with him and how, you know, there's a romantic sense of loss moving on to MLS. And one of the Cincy fans said, it ain't all, you know, we'd rather be a big fish in a little pond than be getting our heads kicked in. And I said, it's not about the wins and the losses. I don't give a shit about wins and losses. I want the culture of the club to survive. But that's sort of that Cincy mentality of, you know.
Big.
Yeah. So I don't really care about Cincy.
But you were absolutely right, by the way, when you said it's not about the wins and losses.
Yeah, that's not what I'm going to miss. I mean, hey, we lose plenty here.
Yeah, but I mean, and I was making this point to Paul as we were driving home on Saturday night. I walked across the field, I walked up the steps, I walked into the grill, and I introduced Paul to Ampulus.
Yeah.
And I said to Paul, we won't be able to do that in 2 years.
Yeah.
I won't be able to just march across the field, go in the grill, and you know, that's the loss.
This one's from David Selmemeyer. On full rest, who are our starters after these impressive rotations? Will we see Fernandez next to Hilton regularly? Are Blackwood and Greg locks? Kasher as a just about guaranteed wing sub now? Bonner, Gee, Reynolds? I don't know.
I like a back four of Bonner, Sam, Fan, and Sean.
Yeah,
I think Paris did come in on Saturday and do a shift. To be fair to him,
but I would like Sean to start the game, to settle it, to keep it, and then if you need an offensive spark, bring Paris in.
Just also want to say, big well done to Jake coming in off the bench, not playing in a couple of games, clean sheet. He really didn't have to do much.
Yeah,
but
we know that's hard. Especially for a keeper. Keepers, it's hard to stay sharp when you're not playing. Played well.
You know, and Thomas, good clean sheet midweek because that own goal, we all thought, oh, here we go again with the own goal. But the defense has stepped up again the last couple of games. So I'm happy with the defense.
And I think, like we said earlier, though, I like the fact that Ant has options.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of who's the starter, it's who's the best starter for this game.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, who we're playing. And I don't think we need a locked-in 11. If everybody's playing well, then you've got options.
It's a Swiss Army knife at this point. Use the right tool at the right time.
I'm glad we're playing Friday and not Saturday because it gives an extra day's rest against Red Bull, because that's going to be a toughie next week.
That is going to be a toughie. Tommy Schulte, going off this, I think Rivas is supposed to be back soon. Does Ant throw him out on the wing or up top? I can't see him starting over Kadeem or Russell at the moment. Maybe starting with Kyle up top, trading with Blackwood. I mean, honestly, I don't know. Even when Rivas is back,
he's not going to start for a while.
Yeah, you've got to
blood him in.
You've got to blood him in. So I think they'll find time for him where they can afford to stick him in. And, you know, we really haven't seen what Rivas can do. And so I don't know how he fits in with Ant's system. We never really got a good stretch of games with him at the beginning of the season. So,
well, now that you're seeing guys like Mosta getting, you know, regular starts, how does he fit it? You know, like, there's a lot of Legoing the parts together. You got to figure it out.
You know, let's not forget, we got Matty Thomas. I mean, just a guy that we never mentioned because we've never really seen him. But, I mean, he's there, man. And I see him on social media, man. He's still bigging up this team. He's part of this team. And I want him to get better, too, because I want to be able to see him maybe in the playoffs.
Matt Baker, is Friday a must win because of how close we are on the table with Birmingham? Or would we be happy with a point on the road? I think we're still. I think Friday's a must win. I think. Look, we've got some big games coming up. Sorry, we've got some big games coming up against tough opponents. Birmingham is somebody we should be able to beat. If we want to make a statement, we want to make the playoffs.
If you can beat Nashville, you can beat Birmingham.
That's right.
That's where we're
and
at.
We owe them one. They came into our house and they stole 3 points.
We owe them one. If we can beat Nashville on 3 days rest, we can beat Birmingham on 7 days.
Well,
rest.
And we have a shit ton of momentum going right now. It's got to continue on.
They do too. But I'm just saying,
with Red Bull on the horizon, you got to have good momentum going into that game.
The season won't be over if we lose to them, but I think that's a statement we need to make.
And they're there for the taking. Let's go take them.
Yep. This one's from Stuart. Analysis of Los Dos and T2 dropping down to USL 1 next season.
And the
possibility of being shifted to the West again. Stuart, you're making my head hurt, man. I don't know. I don't want to think that far in advance. We just got to finish this season.
Yeah.
click it. USL is going to find a way to move us to another conference.
They'll make up a conference just to move us again.
Right. So,
I'm honestly all right with the conferences. I'm all right with East, West, whatever. I don't care.
I think it makes it tough on the front office because they are different scenarios. That you know.
Yeah, for sure. Different leagues.
The skill, the physicality. There's different. You know, I do think it sucks for you know. Ant's got an East team right now, and they'll have to make changes to go to the West. So yeah. I don't like, but. I mean, the other thing is,
but it's out of our control. I mean, I
personally quite like the Western Conference. I think I like it.
I like the East because I think there's better road trip possibilities.
Yeah, there is that, but I think there's nicer road trip possibilities.
Yeah,
they're more expensive in the West.
Yeah, but I as I say, I can convince Erica to go to the Sierra Nevada. I can't convince her to go to
Birmingham
or Memphis.
Justin Phelps, any updates on Lewis? No, I don't have any updates on Lewis. We know he had a walking boot on, but honest to God, I think sometimes those guys put walking boots on and take pictures on Instagram just to freak us the fuck out.
Well, I was talking, I think it was Nancy, because she was in a walking boot for her foot, and I think walking boot is the new ace bandage.
Right,
If you have
protected a little bit, if it did get a little...
If it's an ankle, if it's a calf, if it's a foot, if it's anything below the knee, they're putting a walking boot on
American healthcare industry is such that those things cost like $400, man. You're going to get your money's worth out of it. Like, if I get a walking boot... Joe Chambers doesn't need it right now, but he's getting his money's worth out of his right now.
And the thing is that if I get hurt, I'm going to take his to get his money's worth out of it.
Well, shit, because I can't afford a walking boot.
Yeah.
Zach said he did hear, now again, this we're into hearsay territory, that he was sitting last game so he would be ready for Friday. You know, who knows if that's true or not. But that being said, he would love to see Lewis, Guy, and Colin all on the field at the same time. It might not work, but he'd want to watch it. Hey, I've been very impressed with Colin.
Yes.
And I think... Guy, I think has just added some quiet confidence in there. I mean, he is a
seasoned pro
and a stabilizer. You can hitch your anchor to Guy.
It was funny because they had a close-up.
He knocks Wall Fall on his ass, which I like that.
That's right.
They had a close-up of him the other day, and he just had this stern look on his face. And it's like, that's what you want from somebody like that. Just that stern strength.
Israelis, man, they're hot.
He will hurt you if you push him. Chris Pund responded to that Ant doesn't seem to trust anyone else taking set pieces. I'm going to disagree. We've seen Colin taking some.
Colin's been doing well. And it's good to give, we talked about it last week. Good to give Lewis a little bit of a rest, get the leg back.
But I think, you're better off giving Lewis a rest so then you've got another weapon because I think he has been a little tired out there. Because he's El Motor. Mm-hmm. He's been running nonstop.
I won't ever say a bad word about Lewis Hilton, ever. I mean, he...
Love the dude.
You know, it goes back to the blue collar, the grafters. He's been the heart of this team for the last 2 years.
And his parents are awesome, too.
Yep.
Jake, the one who is in charge, Cake with a J, I know it's a realistic goal at this point, but do you consider being in the play-in round of the playoffs, making the playoffs, or are we only in the playoffs if we win that game. You're in extra
semantics.
You're in the postseason because the season is over. And
if you lose the play-in game, did you make the playoffs?
That's what he's saying.
I'm not sure you do.
I think you did.
I'm going with no.
All right,
because it's the wild card.
You're right, Jake. It's just I disagree, but I've been overruled.
It's like the wild card in baseball. Like you're in, but you're not really.
You made it to a game beyond the regular season.
You needed
that's the playoffs.
You needed an
10th
extra
out
game.
Of 18 teams.
Oh, it's not good. I mean,
you know,
you needed an extra game to get.
Would
to
you
the
take
record.
It though?
Absolutely.
There we go.
I'd have took it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
but now I there's no reason to not think higher.
I want eighth.
There's no reason to the way we played this week. There's no reason to think we can't go higher.
Yeah. No, you keep pushing. That's for
sure.
And
it was great seeing the boys at the game last night, taking in the men's national team.
They were close to it, and then we went and bothered them.
Oh God, Ewan went up there right with me because I seen him. Yeah. I went took Ewan up there, and he sat down next to the fan. And Ewan, honestly, God thought he was going to sit there for the second half with his boys.
Yeah.
I'm like, Ewan, it's the night off. Come on, dude, let's go. Yeah. Leave him alone. He's like, but Dad.
Yeah, same. We took Will up there, and I said, okay, we should go and let them have some time.
I like that we took Will up there.
Well, you know, it
takes a village.
Takes a section.
Talking about so we're losing games, they're 2-0 down to Indy right now.
Good. This one is from our friend Matt up in Minnesota. Can you not talk about the Stanley Cup being at the tailgate?
Too late.
It hurts me knowing I would have been there if I lived in St. Louis.
Too late.
Well, maybe you should move, Matt. Ranger Liz, I had to leave at halftime for all three games last week.
Bye.
And they won.
We're throwing her out.
Seriously thinking about taking one for the team and watching the second half at home if we keep winning.
I'll drive her.
I was going to say, I will pay for the Uber if I have to.
This is from Adam Random Haas. I know you're doing this already, but a rundown of everything before, during, and after the Nashville game. Yeah, we kind of did that. Stanley Cup, blah, blah, blah.
It was a perfect day. There's no other way to describe it. It was everything. It just when everything came together. It's like every time you turned around, there was something else that was great.
It was fun.
And I think for me, the best part was seeing everybody smiling from 5 o'clock till 11 o'clock.
And people say to me, you know, when we get MLS, it'll be so much better. You're going to have to work bloody hard to top that.
Yeah.
Saturday was amazing.
That was a good whole week.
Yeah.
Jim Sullivan, they went from pretty bad to winning 3 in a row. What is the difference from then till now? It's like somebody flipped a switch and they're on. A lot of things. I mean,
the new blood helped. I do think the new blood made a difference, that it gave us more options.
They had a grueling stretch of 3 games there, but they had a little rest before that.
The coming to Jesus that Bert mentioned.
I think that had a lot to do with it because, you know, I think the guys recognized that what was going on wasn't good enough, yeah. and they just had a little, come on, lads.
I mean,
it was a little, come on, lads, we're better than this.
Paul being in town
definitely
had a factor. The Raccoons.
Yeah.
Us having a meltdown on the last podcast that we did.
Yeah.
I'm sure that affected a lot of them.
But, you know, I don't think we've ever said anything that was out of turn.
No. But what I'm saying is, I mean, look, there's a multitude. Mitch, click it.
I am.
There's a multitude of little factors that go in, and sometimes it literally is the difference between a bounce of the ball.
Yeah, I think
and the ball started bouncing our way, and we picked it up, and we've gone with it, and now we got to keep this momentum.
A great stew.
Because it could turn the other way just as easily. I mean,
a great stew is the sum of all its parts.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Stewart.
No.
Great stew, you've got parts.
But I'm glad this team's not give up.
No.
And they're just, the momentum swing has been phenomenal this week.
Yep. And the last question is from our friend, the River Raccoon, whose current profile picture is of him and Alexi Lalas drunkenly hugging him.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy was the corner on Saturday and a capping off the great Raccoon rebound week, Rally Raccoon? The corner was amazing on Saturday. I mean, first of all, sellout crowd, that always helps.
So is the raccoon like a club mascot now? Or is it just some dude that turns up with a raccoon head?
I think the club maybe...
They captured him.
Endorsing the raccoon.
The club captured him.
There has been no official announcement, but I I think maybe.
I mean, I've not actually seen Petch while the raccoon mask was
could
been
be
about.
Petch.
I, you know, oh my god,
put number four on the back. That's Petch.
He literally does everything.
I did. You know, it was funny because I saw the double zero. I was like, oh, double zero, raccoon eyes, but maybe there's a four underneath
there. Put the four on the back, man.
Because you know, you're absolutely Petch. I did not see Petch.
Well,
you've never seen Petch and the mascot raccoon at the same time.
No.
Here's what I did see though. The last time I saw Petch, he was wrangling a rabid.
That's right.
Raccoon.
It was rabid. It wasn't just any.
So
it was
maybe
rabid.
We've got like a superheroes.
Is it like the Fly?
Yeah.
Maybe the rabid raccoon bit him, and now
like
he
a werewolf
is,
kind of thing.
Now he is the river raccoon.
Maybe. We'll have to wait and see if the raccoon does like a right-footed kick.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to watch.
We'll have to see. If so, I want the rabid raccoon on our...
Say the word Wichita to the raccoon if he starts frothing at the mouth.
Also, credit to security Mark for having to chase that raccoon across the field. I mean, Mark,
chased it down.
Mark defends our corner well.
That's right. I do have two statements to read, much like last podcast. Jeremy and Fred both send statements to read, so I want to start with Jeremy's text to us. He says, we need a massive crowd for Wednesday. It's an ESPN game, so it'll be on TV. It's against the Baby Bulls. We all know they are a very good team, so having a full crowd will help. He said, if anybody needs an excuse sheet to leave work early, let him know. He said, three games in 7 days wasn't only difficult on the players and staff. It wasn't easy on you fans and supporters. He wants to thank us for showing up and driving the boys to victories. They don't take that for granted, and they know it was a big commitment from the fans to do all 3 days. For Wednesday, there's going to be a charity du jour tie-in with Sugar Fire. We'll get some details on that, but Sugar Fire reached out to the team, said we want to do something charity related, and Jeremy said let's do it with the Luligans Charity du Jour, which I did not look up. I don't know what it is for next week, but we will have details on that. But it will involve you eating delicious, delicious barbecue for a good cause.
I'm drinking a bottle of the white sauce.
There you go.
White sauce is amazing,
isn't it?
That horseradish barbecue.
Oh
sauce
my god,
is phenomenal.
We went there for my birthday last week, and positive that my son and I killed half the big bottles that they have.
So remember before he came, Paul Jerry had mentioned going to Pappy's with us.
Yeah.
And he'd been there all week and he'd not had barbecue.
Yeah.
And I was walking back across at the back of the stadium on Saturday night and I seen the Sugar Fire tent and I'm like, I'm going to pick up some sandwiches. I said, Paul, have some barbecue at least. And he was all about it. He's
that's
like,
good
this
stuff,
is
man.
But oh my
yeah,
he's
so
like,
good.
This is the business.
They're also going to have some charities auctions coming up for, you know, when they do the special pregame warm-up shirts, they're going to do some of those in the upcoming home game, so keep your eye out for those. And he also wanted to say season ticket renewals are going well, so remind you, everybody, if you haven't renewed yet, you should do that. He said there's been a rise. The numbers are higher than years previous at this point.
Good.
So keep spreading the word, telling people about how great this is. So that's from Jeremy. Always appreciative of the fans and what we do.
How big of a sigh of relief is he breathing after this week?
It was a great week.
We'll have to ask Tammy how things are in the house because she says the way the house knows how the team goes.
Tom wanted to apologize. He's going to be traveling, so it's going to be a while before he makes it out to a game.
Damn it, Tom.
But he said, please give all of the supporters and fans a huge shout out from him and Jim for Saturday night. The way everyone navigated and respected the lines to the sellout crowd to the packed and loud corner. Seriously, one of the best nights ever at the park, and he can't thank everyone enough, and he told me to give you a special thanks, Mitch, for coordinating all the photos, etc. Very happy, very proud of all of the fans, and him and Jim were both happy to make that happen by getting us the Stanley Cup for the game.
We couldn't do this without those guys.
I mean,
besides the fact that they write the check, but
pure legends.
But that's pure legends.
I mean, I talked to Tom a lot lately with the cup stuff, and just the pure happiness in his voice when talking about this to do this for the fans. It's, you know, like they genuinely care about us, and it's not lip service. The
Jim Cavanaugh is never happier than when he's at a watch party or at a soccer game
and he's
just
one of the
being
guys.
One of the guys.
you know, the Nashville fans come up to me and they're like, that's your owner.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, the other one is at the trailer filling up his beer, by the way.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, we are, you know, I've said it many times and people say that we're on their jock too much, but I don't give a shit. They are the best owners we could have ever asked for.
But when the club messes up, we're also sitting here giving it them. I mean,
and they accept that too. Yeah.
Tom doesn't ignore my text messages when I'm saying we suck or
you know,
whatever.
It was a weekly text message in the preccy season.
Yeah.
You know,
daily.
But also to the point of. Look, when they started this thing with St. Louis FC, we had some reservations, but they proved to be in it for the right reasons. And to Matt's point, did I say look?
Yeah.
I said it again there. To Matt's point,
nine.
When we started the MLS talk, and I'm going back to the Paul Edgerly bid in 2017, Jim Cavanaugh came to us and said, look, I want you to be a part of this.
That's a quote. It doesn't count.
We need the fans on board, and we need you to trust us that we're going to try to do this the right way. And we did. And the same thing, that fell through. Carolyn and the Taylor family came on board, and Jim Cavanaugh's, you know, hey, we're doing this. We're going to be involved. We want to do it the right way. We want you involved. And I think sometimes people question why we threw our support behind MLS for the Lou, if some of the concerns we have about what's going to happen to St. Louis FC are unresolved. We don't know. And we don't know what the exact relationship is, but we do know Jim Cavanaugh is involved, and we do know Tom Strunker is involved. And we'll follow those guys. They've earned our respect. They've earned our trust. And, you know, and it's not about wins and losses. It's about doing things the right way. Because obviously they should have won more.
Winning
Tom,
is nice.
Tom, you should spend more money. You should buy better players. I heard Messi's looking around. He's going to sign for Beckham, though. Whatever. But anyway, thank you, Tom and Jim. And the Stanley Cup is icing on the cake, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for what you've done for us. And hopefully we can continue this many years into the future.
On that note,
we got a win on Friday in Birmingham, and then there's a home game on Wednesday. We'll be with you. We'll be promoting it.
I sat here last week and said, I don't have faith we can do it. Let's get six points.
See ya.
So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room only to find Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival.